giant of limitless power at man's command. And where was it science found that giant? In the atom, a particle so infinitely small that it takes over 100 billion atoms to make up the head of a pin.
This is Out of the Basement, a podcast dedicated to radiation medicine.
This is Out of the Basement, and I am Dr. Jason Becta coming at you from the still hot, steamy Vermont mountains. It is September, and it is 90-something degrees. That is not what I signed up for. I can look out the window and see Killington, and I want to see snow-capped peaks, and instead, I am still swatting mosquitoes. Not cool, literally, figuratively. And even though it is September, it has been 2 months since Astro announced Rocker. And what have we heard about it? Nothing. I shouldn't say nothing. They updated their FAQ on the blog post thing, part of their website. It's now a second page, which that is good. And there's still no clarity on the timeline. So we got in the paper itself, in the technical documents, in the proposal, they do model from 2024. So one would assume, based on that and other things that have been said, 2024 would be what they were thinking. That's just three months away, and you would assume that we would have heard more about it from maybe ACRO or ASCO or the ACR or Varian or Elekta or MIM or Rad Formation or Ray Station or Extrol or anyone. I haven't heard anyone talking about this, and I've actually asked a lot of people at those relevant organizations, and it's All quiet. On the FAQ, it does talk about how there's going to be stuff at the Astro conference. And so I'm actually looking at the Astrogram right now, and it does say that want to know more about Rocker, attend the RO Advocacy Breakfast. And if you click on the link, so the RO Advocacy Breakfast is Monday, October 2nd. From 7 a.m. to 8 a.m., $40 a ticket for members, $25 for students and residents. And I don't even know what to say about that. So we've got that, and then a different thing in the FAQ says the Astro Business Meeting, which is also another thing that's restricted attendance. So what's the plan here? We're just going to roll through September and then have kind of two ticketed hour-long lectures at people, and that's what are we doing? I guess I shouldn't say that's all we're doing, because today was the President's Cancer Panel, the inaugural stakeholder meeting, and meeting Astro President, but also the President, because the NCI, I think it's the NCI, is doing something on cancer. Today we had that 8-hour webinar. So I logged in for our part of it, for the Astro part of it. A little thrown off. There's a little ticker counter thing in the top right corner when I logged in for the attendees in the webinar. Including me, it said there were 19 people. Maybe it was a technical glitch. Maybe this was meant to be more of a recorded thing to watch for the future. But this was by the federal government, and there were big names there in our world, at least in the medicine world, and the heads of Astro, ASCO leaders. And there was 19 people on this webinar. I don't know. It wasn't advertised. It just, because obviously I'm a turbo Radonk nerd, and that's what my Twitter is tuned to. That's all I see. I don't know. That was strange. But we got to hear about Rocker today. So let me just walk things back. I guess we are going to hear about Rocker before this 7 a.m. ticketed Astro Advocacy Breakfast in October, because we heard about it today. So I edited this down. This was 15 minutes of prepared remarks. I assume the whole thing was staged, but 15 minutes of a talk and then 15 minutes of questions from the other panelists with current Astro President Jeff from WashU. And we're just going to jump right into it. So I cut out the intro part, or some of it, but this is midway through the intro paragraph here.
Radiation therapy is a safe and effective choice for many including some of the most common cancers, and indeed can be a curative treatment for some cancers by itself, but is often combined with other modalities such as surgery or chemotherapy or immunotherapy to achieve our goals of care.
I edited down a few sentences from the beginning. That was essentially the end of the vocal first paragraph. Keep that in mind, because this is immediately what he goes into next.
So one of the goals is to optimize the workforce, and this is indeed an opportunity for radiation oncology. Our goal is to foster a diverse workforce by promoting diversity, equity, and belonging in all ASTRO activities.
So I edited out the following sentences that he follows that up with, and it was just mostly interesting to note that was the opening salvo for this president's symposium. And then we go right into this next topic here.
We heard already about the importance of maximizing data utility. ASTRO is leading the way in creating informatics solutions to increase data liquidity for patients, researchers, and clinicians. We heard about M-Code and Codex earlier from ASCO, and ASTRO is one of the early participants in the Codex and a founding member of the Minimum Common Oncology Data Elements, M-Code.
Look, I don't know everything by any stretch of the imagination. I don't even know 0.002% of everything. I wish I did, but what is he talking about? This is the first time I've heard of this Codex thing. The first time I heard of the M-Code, or the only time, was really with the Rocker technical documents. Is this a thing that you guys know about? Is this, and did I just miss this? It's certainly possible. It's just me. I'm tuned in enough where I'm one of the 19 people to have logged into this thing, and I don't recall hearing about this, and this is evidently noteworthy enough to be bringing up in the 15 minutes in the president's cancer panel. Maybe it's just me. He continues.
And we are using this initiative to aggregate and transfer radiation treatment summary data to create more modern, meaningful quality measures and streamlining prior authorization. We heard some of the challenges about prior authorization, and we believe that the Codex initiative may indeed help us solve some of those issues.
Great. Yeah, I agree. Prior auth has been a huge problem for all of us and only gets worse. And I hope whatever this is does whatever that is. And I'm hopeful.
We wish to deliver optimal care and eliminate inequities, and we can do this through the development of evidence-based guidelines in cancer treatment, including focusing on shorter, more convenient, and less costly treatments when appropriate. And indeed, ASTRO works with not just our membership, but also some of our partner societies like ASCO and some other global societies to develop treatment guidelines.
Yes, and these treatment guidelines, like Choosing Wisely, mysteriously disappear off the website without a trace, like they never existed. And other treatment guidelines, like the breast and prostate hypofrac from 2018, are incorporated into the prior authorization guidelines to make it more challenging to get care approved. But hopefully they'll work on that.
We're also pursuing policies that move away from fee-for-service payment system. Right now, radiation oncologists are paid per treatment. And we believe that there's an opportunity to improve care through payment per episode of care. And we've proposed a legislative proposal to change payment from per treatment to per patient, which would create an opportunity for value.
All right, finally, we're going to hear about some Rocker stuff, like to President Biden. Let's get into this.
The radiation oncology case rate proposal is a legislative proposal that we believe will increase patient access to care, enhance quality of cancer treatments, reduce disparities for rural and underserved patients, and lower Medicare spending costs. Why the radiation oncology case rate? It promotes value by changing payment from per treatment to per patient. It would end a decade-long decline in Medicare payment, which is challenging the viability of some of our radiation oncology centers. It would align payment incentives with evidence-based care and unify payments across different care settings, whether it be in hospital-based or freestanding centers, and it has the potential to save more than $200 million over 5 years. Right now, radiation oncology, all of radiation oncology spending accounts for the cost of the two top cancer drugs and reaches far more patients. So radiation therapy is indeed a great value to our patients who face a diagnosis of cancer.
All right, so just rehashing the intro paragraph of the technical document and making it real awkward to highlight it in that way where we are proposing a legislative model that saves CMS $200 million despite costing less, all of radiation costing less. He says two, I think it's three, but costing less than just the top three drugs to Medicare. That is crazy. We don't need to cut anymore. If all of radiation therapy in America per year costs less than even if it was 10 drugs, but if we cost less than two or three drugs, that is crazy. We don't need to cut anymore. You did it, CMS. Okay, you did it. We're good. You don't even need to adjust for inflation and we're getting cut. Stop.
So this rocker for patients, the radiation oncology case rate, we have integrated into it a health equity achievement and radiation therapy, a HEART program, which allow patient access through transportation assistance to reduce disparities for patients to complete their treatment. We'll enhance patient-centered care by supporting shorter treatments, such as hypofractionation for certain cancers, and potentially the opportunity to reduce toxicity. We'll ensure access of patients' treatments closer to home to technologically advanced cancer treatments and uses a systematic approach to improve quality and protect patient safety, such as through practice accreditation, our APEX program.
This is where it really gets interesting and we start to zigzag a bit here. So to specifically reiterate, we're talking about rocker and the HEART payment, and he justifies this in part by saying it ensures access of treatment for patients closer to home. Specifically, rocker heart good because it lets patients get treatment closer to home.
So ASTRO's commitment to the National Cancer Plan is to lead our community to reduce cancer mortality by 50% over 25 years. Leaders in research and precision radiation therapy that will lead to better outcomes with reduced side effects. Different technologies allow us to achieve this goal. We have more than 2,500 practices based in hospitals and communities in the nation ready to serve.
I chopped that part up a bit. It was basically like listening to somebody read a brochure, but I would like to see these research projects. I would like to see them.
Looking forward, challenges that we face are improving the understanding of radiation therapy and its benefits to our patient population and to referring physicians. We heard about prior authorization, and indeed, we feel that there is a need to prevent interference in physician and patient decision-making, and allow physicians and patients to decide their care between themselves without interference from third parties. And finally, there's an opportunity to develop effective treatments through exciting areas of innovation. Already, we're introducing artificial intelligence into our clinics to help with radiation therapy planning and selecting treatment goals.
Interesting to bring up artificial intelligence in the context of this talk where workforce is discussed in various manners, but we'll get there soon.
And also an area of opportunity is continued investigation and research in particle therapy, such as protons and very high dose rate, so-called flash radiation therapy approaches. Again, thank you very much for this opportunity to share ASTRO's initiatives and priorities, and I look forward to your questions. Thank you.
All right. It wouldn't be a rat on talk if we didn't bring up protons and flash. Flash. I'm very excited for flash, too. I've been hearing about flash for a long time now. Never seen it. Still hearing about it. So let's see how this Q&A goes.
Thank you very much, Dr. Michalski. I appreciate that. It was a very nice overview. Let me start the question by, let's go back to one of the key goals of the National Cancer Plan, which is to develop more effective therapies. And you touched on some of these issues, but what is the biggest barrier in your field to being able to offer advanced technologies? For example, let's say proton therapy or intraoperative radiation to patients who live in various corners of the states who don't have access to protons or can't get to a hospital with IOR. What are the barriers and what do you recommend we suggest to the administration to help reduce those barriers to limitation of the optimal care?
Intraoperative radiation therapy, really. That's where we're going to go with this. in proton therapy, everyone's favorite. Now, I don't want to use the word or the phrase proton lobby. I want to use the phrase people of the proton persuasion, because that is very hard to say. We'll see if I can do it. So people of the proton persuasion. And that, I love that that is the opening prepared question right off the bat. Let's see where this goes.
Thank you for the question. And I believe, you know, one of the barriers for such high-tech therapy is the need for high levels of evidence. Proton therapy has been around since the late 50s, early 60s, and yet we have very limited level one evidence to demonstrate that there is indeed value to these technologies. Over the past decade and a half, we've seen explosion of access to these treatments in concentrated areas, mostly urban areas, big cities. And despite that increase in availability in those localities, we still lack high-level evidence. And supporting ongoing clinical research, I think, is very important. In terms of making it available to rural communities, I think first we have to demonstrate that effectiveness before we make those investments.
Bet you didn't see this one coming, but I completely agree. That is exactly my answer as well. 100% agree. No notes. Continue.
But one alternative is to provide access by transportation and lodging for people who are able and willing to spend time away from home. But even with intraoperative radiotherapy, I still think that there's need for that high level of evidence and ongoing support through either the NCTN clinical trials group or at single institutions to conduct this type of research is still important.
Thank you very much. It was very informative. So just building on Dr. Berger's question, with technologies that are proven, for instance, radiation can cure prostate cancer as well as surgery, and some patients are better served with radiation. Do patients in rural areas have access to radiation? These are pretty expensive technologies. Are there ways in which we provide access, or are patients having to undergo different treatments that may not be as effective for them as radiation because of access? And are there policies that are needed, or is this all a financial issue?
As a rural radiation oncologist, I'm very interested in this question. Let's see where this goes.
No, good question. And indeed, there is data that shows distance from a radiation oncology center is correlated to the availability or the ability to receive that care. And so the further you away are, further you from a radiation oncology center, the less likely you are to receive radiation therapy. And this is true for a number of different diagnoses, including prostate cancer and breast cancer and others. Incentivizing the establishment of centers in rural communities is important, or means to access that those centers through transportation vouchers or, you know, hotel stays, things like that.
All right. So we've got establishment of centers in rural communities. That's expensive. A new linear accelerator can cost at least $3 million. And if you're talking about a new build, then you got to build the stuff around it, the vault, the building. You got to hire the staff. It's quite expensive. The capital investment for a new center, it hasn't been done in a while. So there's a cancer center thing being built, I think in, somewhere in the further out west than where I am. And I think they had raised $125 million. That's a lot. And there's another one being built. I still think that one was $7 million. We're talking about $7 million capital. It usually takes about 2 years. And then for 30 some of the states, there's the certificate of need, which is a lengthy process to do. We won't get into that. So that's an investment. So let's see, what do we got here?
Because most radiation oncology often requires a course of therapy. Yeah. The other thing that we are working on, as I mentioned, in incentivizing in that rocker model, is shortening the overall duration of a course of therapy does increase the opportunity for patients to receive care, because it's easier to stay away from home for a week than it is for 8 weeks.
There we go. That's the quiet part out loud. So we are literally saying that rocker is meant to incentivize the use of shorter radiation courses, and also it's easier to stay somewhere that isn't your home for 1 week than 8 weeks. Read between the lines. on what that means, but Rocker incentivizes shorter treatments and also makes it easier for people to travel somewhere for 1 week for radiation therapy. And that's the game. That's what this is all about. So let's see what else we got here.
Indeed, that is one of Astra's strategic priorities, is to enhance the understanding of the role of radiation in cancer care delivery. Certainly, with respect to access and knowledge, we have an annual meeting, and we've made that available virtually for many of our members. But getting to the idea of how do we inform the primary care physicians about the role of radiation oncology is also a very important priority for us. And we are working with different communication channels to improve that dissemination of information.
We are working with different communication channels to improve that dissemination of information. What does that mean? I am not aware of any sort of program or initiative like this. I strongly agree. I think a big part of our issues as a specialty is our lack of any sort of PR campaign or anything at all. And people, we are just a mystery. We're just some weirdos in the basement, and we need to do better. That's part of why this podcast exists and other things. And we're humans. We're nice. You could talk to us. It's not terrifying. I would love to know about these initiatives. I would love to.
Let me ask you another question that sort of takes off a little bit on Dr. Jaffe's question, and that has to do with how you as a specialty ensure proficiency in, let's say, non-AMCs or non-big city centers in the rural community, in the inner city. And is there something that's been an impediment to doing that? And how do we send that message to the administration that, number one, there is proficiency across all centers for the kinds of technological advances you use in your field and for ensuring that patients in one location get the same treatment that they get in another location? Or do you need help? Is this a problem in radiation oncology in general?
So it's called the internet. We've had it for a bit. I'm being a little sarcastic there, but as someone who has been in both the largest academic medical centers and very small hospitals where I am currently, the technology has been a great equalizer for all of us. And again, this is a generational issue to a degree. Obviously, I'm a lot younger than the people on this call, but it's places like the MedNet, which I just adore, and having the internet, which is the sum of all knowledge in our pockets and our smartphones, is really been a way where, even though I'm kind of out in the woods out here, I still talk to the same people I did that I was at Yale, and it's been wonderful. But let's see where this goes.
Good questions. One of the means that we are doing that is through a practice accreditation and making sure that the process of care and the availability of technology, safety related issues, quality related issues are all part of that practice accreditation. Certainly, certifying one's board certification is important, and we work with the American Board of Radiology, who certifies our specialists both at time of when they initially graduate and finish their training, but then ongoing maintenance certification is also an important element of maintaining education, knowledge, and quality. So there are different means to do that.
I'm going to save the APEX accreditation thing for a whole other day, but very interesting to note the answer there included the ABR and board certification, and specifically maintenance of certification, which I would question how many people are exempt from that, meaning how many people were board certified before a mock was instituted. So I participate in mock, I do the questions and so on and so forth. And if one of the concerns is about kind of proficiency and staying up to date, and one of the answers is, or justifications is maintenance certification, then why in the world do people exist with lifetime certs? Why? Here's a suggestion, rather than APEX and so on and so forth, end lifetime board certifications. Easy.
Getting back to, we have to report to President Biden on specific issues. Is there one barrier that the administration might be able to help to make sure radiation therapy is provided to all patients? It could be policy, it could be something that requires more research. What would be the most pressing issue?
I think there are two things. One, and we heard about it today, is access to care is rather uneven. And we mentioned rural communities, but even in urban centers, there is challenges with respect to access to care.
And we circled right back to rural access of care. Very interesting. There's a theme here, almost like there's an agenda. And this is a small part of the intro of the talk, but everyone seems to be hitting on that. And so in the beginning, it was allegedly one of the Astro sort of initiatives, and then it switched over to, well, actually with Rocker, we can make things shorter and have people travel to the academic medical centers where everything is better and proficient. But let's see where this goes.
We understand that there are uninsured and underinsured individuals who don't have the ability to get early diagnosis and early treatment. And so closing that gap is very important. And then I will say the same that others have said earlier today is continuing to invest in cancer research. Myself, I'm a clinical trialist and have conducted studies using radiation in different types of cancers, from pediatric cancers to adult cancers. And year after year, we see the ability to continue to do the innovative and novel research that we would like to do challenged by the lack of funds, and whether it be through the NCTN and their cooperative care or cooperative research groups, or by increasing funding at the institution level, is still very important.
Yeah, no, this is another shocker where I say that I pretty much completely agree with this. The issues is the uninsured and underinsured and trying to get the diagnosis early and early treatment. And that, in so in my neck of the woods, where I'm the only radiation oncologist for quite a large group of geographic area of sparsely populated people, the challenges is not me. Obviously, I'm going to say that, but just take my word for it, whatever. It's not when they finally get to me, it's just getting to me. That is the issue. So once they finally made it to the point where I can turn the radiation beams on, a lot of things have to happen. And in my day-to-day practice, that is the hard part. That is so hard. I can't even, it is just a struggle for basic things. And so it's, if the president, President Biden or anyone else is really interested, Jeff is dead on right there. That is the key. Is that it's all the stuff getting to the diagnosis of cancer, getting the appropriate staging workup, getting them through the radiation part of it. Less exciting these days again because of the internet and all of us who trained in the VMAT era and yada. It's the stuff that comes before and stuff that comes after. And if we can close that gap, that would fix us. So I know, weird. I agree with Jeff on this one, but let's keep going.
I want to go back to the workforce issue because it is obviously one of the goals to optimize the workforce in the National Cancer Plan. And I understand the position of the society as to the training of individuals and trying to reach out into diverse populations of medical students and physicians. But what are the issues in terms of the disconnect between the number of radiation oncologists out there and the need for services to be provided? You talked about trying to bridge the gap with AI platforms or algorithms. What are you going to do going forward in the future to try and level that playing field with the workforce? Because obviously you haven't met that metric in which you have enough providers out there. So what are the kinds of things you're going to do to make sure that people all over the country are going to be able to get optimal care?
Oh man, I got so excited when this question was asked. This is it. This is the softball. This is where all the spin. This is their moment. And to Jeff's credit, his answer is very reasonable.
From a workforce perspective, you know, Astra did recently conduct a workforce survey and analysis. And we believe that in the next 5 to 10 years, that our needs will have been met from a physician perspective. However, from the ancillary professionals, we do have some shortages from medical physics to therapists, nurses, et cetera. We heard that from our other partners earlier on. One of the challenges is not so much numbers of physicians, but is the distribution of physicians appropriate. And we do see concentrations in some regions of the country and shortages in other parts. And so incentivizing physicians and the development and establishment centers in more rural communities is a very important thing for us to do, but a very challenging thing to accomplish.
All right, so that wraps up the Astra part of it. Jeff's not wrong there. But listening to this, this was very interesting, where Astra has an agenda, but whatever this was, this president's symposium, they had a different agenda. And really very interesting, as again, I am a rural radiation oncologist. This is what I do every minute of every day that I am awake, and I'm recording this very late at night because otherwise my job is nuts. And that's what they wanted to focus on, and back and forth on the rocker thing. So this is the first we've heard of rocker since the webinar, and really just to out and out say, maybe he misspoke, I'm sure that's what is going to be said, but to say that rocker is incentivizing shorter treatments and it's easier to stay away from home for 1 week versus eight. Come on. And here are some suggestions as someone who does this, not people who sit in large cities and sit on panels and stuff. Number one, underinsured, uninsured, closing the gap. It's infrastructure, resources, and people and equipment. That is a big thing. But when you're focusing on the problem of treating cancer better in rural communities, it is all the other stuff. Getting to the cancer treatment is one thing. I'm not saying that things are flawless, but it is waiting 8 weeks for scans because there's only one scanner, or there's no dentists, or it's just infinite things of that nature. So I think working on all the other stuff, which is a big nebulous, that's an answer. But number two, stop with the cuts, because it is, yes, radiation oncology on an individual level does reimburse well compared to the quote unquote cognitive specialties, like compared to pediatrician doing a well child check. It's obviously, but the capital investments up front, these are expensive things to run. Really, go look it up if you don't believe me. A new LINAC, $3 million easy. And that's for a basic run-of-the-mill LINAC. Medical physicists, you can't find them. You could wave bags of money and you can't find those people. They're just the staff shortages, equipment expenses. The one thing we don't have a shortage of is the doctors. There's too many. We got enough radoncs. We don't need that, but it's all the other stuff. So stop with the cuts. Rocker, as it's written, it's got some good ideas, but it needs to actually be thought out, which it is currently not, but it could be if they wanted to have actual conversations about this. But at the very least, the easiest thing to do would be just no more cuts. Like literally just call it. If all of RADONC per year is less than three of the drugs, you don't need to cut anymore. Just tie our reimbursement to inflation, just like that bill that the AMA is supporting is in Congress right now. Stop cuts, stop bundles, tie our reimbursements to inflation and leave it alone. We're already a lot less than what we were 5-10 years ago. All right, you're good. So what would be even better if you want to help rural communities out is increase reimbursement. That's wild, I know, but it costs money to run a $3 million machine. So stop cuts, at least pay more at best. Three would be ending or at least altering or regulating the certificate of need at the federal level. Because then, assuming you get past all this, so assuming that you have an entity or people or whatever that's willing to put up the capital that is required to build a new center or to build the infrastructure around rural communities, because I am facing this literally right now when I am talking about this is my everyday. This is not a theoretical thing. This is literally what we're doing. The certificate of need is a tremendous issue. We're just going to leave it like that, even when the need is clear. And this goes back to the interstate medical license thing that has been talked about with COVID and telemedicine and whatnot. But some of these things need to stop being at the state level. There needs to be a federal medical license, and there needs to be some sort of federal oversight. I understand that maybe a federal certificate of need is not a good idea, or there's all these other things, but some sort of way to regulate that better. Because you got, like in my state, it's a whole thing that I won't get into. Lord knows some lawyers probably going to show up at my house. But look at, you got Michigan suing the governors, like suing Blue Cross, Blue Shield about this, that, anything, and their lockdown, and about being able to buy new LINACs because of certificates of needs. And it's a mess. Just go Google that. Go Google Michigan governor sues Blue Cross, and then read about certificate of needs, and yikes. Those are my back to his top three. One, uninsured, underinsured, just invest more in the other stuff up front before the cancer, which is weird, but it has to be done. Two, stop the cuts of radiation oncology. You did it. No more. Three, federal regulation of certificate of need, or at least federal oversight. And I guess four, two more points. One, four, the federal medical license, and then five, the permanent enactment of the virtual direct supervision / general supervision. We're already in it. We're already doing it. Just Astra needs to stop their stuff, and they wrote a letter today supporting direct virtual supervision, but you need to be able to extend the providers that already are in play, which the current things actually have. So there's really, that's a great, out of those five things, just kind of direct virtual supervision and general supervision, it's already there. So just do nothing else beyond make it permanent. Obviously, federal medical license, certificate needs, cuts, and infrastructure, much bigger things, but at least that, you don't have to do anything. I'll leave it there for now. This is another trying to do shorter podcast. I'm never going to get there. I talk a lot, but come on. Let's talk more about Rocker before this 7 a.m. October 2nd breakfast that costs $45 in San Diego. Come on. All right. Back to out.
This has been a Photon Media production. Don't forget to like and subscribe on whatever platform you use to listen to us. Be well and be mom.